But it is interesting that Elon is talking about this now, like here, the fiat is hopeless quote. Like, why after all this time is he doing it now?
I think this is maybe something that a lot of people are very unsurprised hasn't come to light. I'm a little surprised, flat denial of its existence now.
I've heard it so many times, I'm over it. Just give me sound money so we can just remove power from this whole government apparatus.
There is no justice. Justice belongs to whoever pays the biggest amount, the biggest invoice. That's the person that gets justice.
Ben, if there's one human in my life, I think, who needs Grafino S, it's probably you. So I would get on it, my friend. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. As always, I have Tony and our friend Ben Werman is back. Ben, thanks for joining, man. Lots to talk about today. So up first, the big news in Bitcoin this week was, so Elon Musk started this America Party and someone asked if they would embrace Bitcoin and he said, fiat is hopeless. So yes. So everyone pays attention to everything Elon Musk says, for better or for worse. I would be very curious, Ben, to hear your opinions on, do you buy it, first of all? And second, I guess, do you think there's any real impact to a statement like this from Elon?
I would say the way that I look at all of these situations of these big name celebrities just talking about Bitcoin. Another example recently was Conor McGregor talking about it, and all the Bitcoiners like, oh, does he really mean it? Is he really going to be serious? Is he going to get into the shitcoins? The way that I try to view all of these things is it a net positive or net negative for the movement of Bitcoin as a whole? And I think that every time that big names are talking about it on a big platform, it's just getting more people to think about it and work through their minds. And I care more about the individuals than anyone else. So the fact that it's getting more individuals to think about it is a positive. I don't know and I don't care if you will actually do anything big with it, because I remember back, what was it, like 2020, when he put hashtag Bitcoin in his Twitter bio and he was talking about it. Everyone was so excited and they bought some for the Tesla balance sheet and then they sold it and so nothing happened. That was 5 years ago. So I don't know, don't care if he'll do anything, but I'm happy that it's just becoming more and more a part of the zeitgeist and unignorable by the masses.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good optimistic take, actually, because I think I tend to just kind of roll my eyes at these things. But if people start Googling Bitcoin and they find Natalie or they find Saifedean or, you know, they find us, like, right, like they start to go down the rabbit hole and learn a little bit, I think that is a net positive. But yeah, I don't put a lot of weight in his words at this point. I mean, remember when they were going to cut $2 trillion of the deficit, and Doge, I think, collected maybe $150 billion in savings that we'll never see. Tony,
the whole America Party thing too. Like, it's so interesting to watch all that. I mean, I just don't care anymore. I've heard this so many times. I'm over it. Just give me sound money so we can just remove power from this whole government apparatus. We don't need to throw more parties at it. It's not going to work.
I can't believe that you don't think more politicians are what we need. Tony, what's your take on Musk?
Yeah, of course, man. I mean, this is for us, it makes no difference. I mean, when you've done the work, studied money, studied, you know, gone down the rabbit hole, all of this news is just noise. However, for normie brains, simple minds that don't think and just follow, I mean, this is great. I mean, if they need some celebrity dork to say something for them to clap and jump, then so be it. So it's definitely a net positive for Bitcoin because, you know, as everybody knows now, you cannot ignore it anymore. I mean, you really have to be either deaf, dumb, or blind to not know anything about Bitcoin in this day and age. Does he really matter? No, not really. I mean, can he fast track things? Yes, sure. If enough, you know, simple minds, you know, just follow his lead, then great. Yes, it will fast track. Does it change, you know, the core of Bitcoin? Absolutely not. So, nothing more to add to this, man, other than the fact that it's becoming very abundantly clear that we don't need celebrities. There are no heroes. The separation of money shouldn't be just of state, really. It should be the separation of money in every living soul. Money has to be used and not controlled by anyone. That's it. So whether it's Musk or, you know, Pamela Anderson or whoever else you want to put, you know, with that title to talk about Bitcoin, that's all they're going to do is hype up the simple minds.
And I would say one of the tools that I enjoy using more and more, just when I'm orange pilling some normies, is just showing them the graph of Bitcoin's life and how it just keeps going up and how it's been so sustainable. It's been around for so long. People have heard it for so many years. So I think it's just a good simple way to look at it is the more repetition they can just have it pounded into their little normie brains, the more normal it is and less scary it is and uncertain, because people are the most scared of things that they don't understand. And the fact that it's constantly in their bubble and they're constantly hearing about it makes them more comfortable with it, even if they don't know what it is. That's a step in the right direction. So I'm all for it.
But it is interesting that Elon is talking about this now, like the fiat is hopeless quote. Like, why after all this time is he doing it now? To me, it just tells me, I guess he's got, you know, no less asses to kiss these days. And so he just doesn't care, right? And so now that he's broken his ties, you know, with the political front, maybe he genuinely doesn't care anymore. And it is what it is now. And he's going full force with what he should have done, you know, many years ago when all Bitcoiners were telling him like, hey, what are you doing, man? You know, you're promoting, you know, shit coins and Dogecoin and all that other garbage when sound money was just right here staring you in the face. You knew it was here staring you in the face, but you deliberately ignored it. And now it's clear that the ass kissing has stopped, or at least has been reduced drastically. And now he's sort of like rewinding back to what people were expecting him to do, you know, many years ago. Anyhow, regardless, what the truth is always somewhere in the middle. For me, it's a net positive. Let him talk about it. Let him not talk about it. It just fast tracks, you know, simple minds. And that, I guess it's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, Tony, I'm still caught up on your, you dating yourself on the Pamela Anderson reference, but a good one nonetheless. All righty. Up next. So guys, the Epstein list does not exist. So back in, let's see, February 21st, Pam Bondi said that the Epstein client list was sitting on her desk. And then July 7th, so yesterday is the time of this recording, they conclude that Epstein had no client list. He did commit suicide. I think it wasn't the first thing to kill itself. The Fort Knox audit. I mean, you mass deportations. You name it. They've all died on their own. I'd love to hear your thoughts, Tony. I think this is maybe something that a lot of people are very unsurprised hasn't come to light. I'm a little surprised. Flat denial of its existence now. Like, I mean, the narrative didn't go from, we can't release it, or it's like, no, we no longer, like, it doesn't exist anymore, even though we've been talking about having it for however long. Tony, what do you think, man?
Well, the joke's on Epstein. The government had nothing, man. You killed yourself for no reason, you dummy. You know, so there was no list to begin with. Man, this is like disgusting. Honestly, like, I don't know how much worse things have to get before people react. I mean, so far, you know, everybody was very bullish on the Trump presidency, right? But I mean, up to now, I guess it's been disappointment after disappointment. And this one, like, holy shit, man. Like, I mean, this one is a blatant FU to all of America to finally to come out and say this. Oh, there's no list. After, you know, many years of concrete evidence of its existence and people testifying towards it or what have you, now all of a sudden, you know, it's somehow vanished. How do you end this problem? Really, like, how do you end it? You can't. It's like if you hit it head first, it's a no-win solution. You cannot. It's like the rot is so deep and entrenched, and it dates so far back that there's just so many, you know, corrupt actors involved in this whole circus. The only way you're going to put an end to it is to just have enough people leave it, right? So none of this was possible before 2008. After 2008, really, there's no excuse. You just have to leave the system. But so many people feel like it's like their oxygen lifeline to be stuck in it, and that they have no choice, no way out, which is why we keep hearing the stupidities on a regular basis. And it seems to be getting worse and worse and like funnier and funnier over time because how absurd things are turning into. So, you know, make that whatever you want to with it. It's a fucking joke as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, my wife spends a lot more time on like normie social media, just, you know, chatting with the girls, that kind of thing. And I asked her, I was like, have you even seen this? Like, is this news for like the rest of the world? Or is this just like my little bubble? She's like, oh, no, like it's news. And I was like, is everyone just like kind of moving on? She's like, no, like people, like most people are actually very confused, upset, frustrated by this. I hope this might be, you know, I think like when COVID happened, a lot of people didn't wake up. I think a lot of people did though. And I think maybe these sorts of situations are going to be new opportunities for people to wake up. I'm obviously, you know, appalled that basically a bunch of pedophiles are going to just get off the hook. And I don't think that there's a damn thing we can do about it, because I think the best thing we can do is just opt out in our own lives. But that doesn't make the list publicly available. That doesn't release the files for us. And so I think a lot of people are going to get away with things. I'm hopeful, though, that more people will step back and say, what's going on? You know, like there, you told us there was a list and now you're saying there isn't a list. Like that they both can't be true.
The thing is, it's all comes back to that big club that you're not a part of. There's the U.S. government, okay? And there's like its interests, big money. Everybody on this list presumably is a very powerful individual that has contributed a lot of money, you know, to whatever lobby, you know, thing you want to think of. So they're in a predicament. What do we do? Do we shut down our source of big money, people that'll, you know, align with us when we want to sanction this or that? Or do we make the peasants happy because they're looking for some sort of like drama, like some sort of justice? There is no justice. Justice belongs to whoever pays the biggest amount, the biggest invoice. That's the person that gets justice. If you thought you were living in a fair system, now it's very clear that this is complete, you know, it's a complete farce. So again, it comes down to money and power. Those that have it have their own set of rules, and those that don't deal with the consequences. So if you want to shift that balance of power, those with no money need to opt out of the system that is designed so that they can never have any money or say or influence or anything of value. That's what we're seeing here.
Tony, are you talking about Diddy or Epstein now? I'm confused.
All of that garbage, man. All of that garbage shares the same common denominator.
Yes. Yeah.
You're not part of that club. It's as simple as that.
Ben, what's your take, man? I imagine this is one you've dug into a bit.
I mean, it's so obvious what was going to happen. I was with, in Candace Owens reposted one of her old tweets basically saying anything that implicates Israel is never going to, it's never going to see the light of day. Like that's never going to happen. She was right. Like I knew she was going to be right. And as you were talking about, this just provides more awakening opportunities for people. And that is where I get the most wins and the most white pills in my life, is just the more things that are going to awaken the most of the masses and make, that's what makes me happy. Those are the moving the needle things that we need to get humanity in a more positive direction from where it's at right now. And we were talking earlier about how Elon just talking about Bitcoin, I'll take that as a win because I guess more people are comfortable with Bitcoin thinking about it. And this whole Epstein fiasco is moving the needle for a lot of conservatives realizing their country is occupied by a foreign nation. That's kind of a big deal that most of them didn't even realize. And the same thing's even happening for people on the left. Like they're watching this too. And it's funny because I have a lot of family and friends who are on the left growing up in the Seattle area. And it's a very different flavor of awakening for them, different angles that they're taking. But since their whole life revolves around Trump being bad, it's easy to like slip them things like, oh, see, look at all these bad things that are happening with Trump in the office. That's bad, huh? And they're like, yeah, it is bad. So everyone's figuring some things out. They're moving in the right direction. So maybe I sound overly optimistic. This is a dark, terrible situation, but it is getting more people to really stop and think, crap, there's a lot of things happening under the surface that I wasn't aware of. And it's just getting more people to think for themselves. And this is why I'm always trying to just force feed Bitcoin into these conversations, and Noster too. Noster is a big one, like especially on Twitter as people are digging through all this. I think that another thing we haven't even touched on, but maybe we will soon, about all this surveillance stuff coming up and these different crazy technocratic tools that are trying to crack down on people who are talking about the truth. And I think things like Noster will help those who are going through this awakening process need somewhere where they can talk about it and aren't going to be in danger of having their accounts banned or voices silenced. And on top of that, Nostr gives them a way to actually monetize their truth speaking. So I think that it's going to really create a lot of cool incentives that are going to help accelerate and pour gasoline on this awakening from all these people.
Yeah, man. I hope you're right. We'll get to the surveillance here in just a minute, but one more from the Trump administration. Another big victory on their end is lots of market manipulation. So Trump has postponed tariffs, the deadline from July 9th to August 1st. This particular account says pump the markets. To me, that it just feels like pure market manipulation. I mean, this is the crazy thing is that we've become so accustomed to like these big moves from centralized authorities that it never crosses people's mind that this is exactly what socialism looks like. Like this is not the free market playing out. I mean, it's one thing if you say this is the date we're doing something and you just let it play out and whatever the consequences may be, you allow the chips to fall where they may. I mean, this is just something completely different. I'm just grateful I'm not an investor. I'm a saver in Bitcoin. Like that to me is maybe what gives me the most peace of mind in my life is that I don't have to think about all of this news so hard except to share it with the world. Tony, why don't you give me your thoughts here?
Yeah, again, man, it's part of the same club, same farce, the same rules that, you know, no one can control and that you just have to, you know, live with. I mean, it's become ridiculous at this point. It's like they can't make a comedy this funny. You know, this is like the story writes itself. The fact that, you know, people are still putting up, you know, with a handful of people making decisions that impact, you know, the rest of the world, for me, this is mind-boggling. I mean, you'd think like by 2025, after everything that we've seen, you'd see like a bigger pushback. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Thankfully, you know, we don't need, you know, 100% of people to act. We just need enough people to opt out of the system, you know, of course, us included. And like you said, we can just sit on the sidelines and watch just things fall apart. If you're already outside the legacy system, holding Bitcoin in self-custody, living for the most part on that standard, you have already won and you will likely not be impacted negatively by any of the stuff that you see unfolding. The only downside to all of this is that if you're stuck in a location where too many people around you are impacted negatively, that could, you know, indirectly start affecting you. So this is where you want to start, you know, strategizing, I guess. One, keep your money safe. Two, but also keep you safe in a jurisdiction where that's, you know, less likely to blow up.
Yeah, I think this is one of the best illustrations. It's like a continuing illustration because there's always like this new form of market manipulation. And lately, it's just been tariffs. But like the ability to opt out, it really does offer material benefits. Like I really don't have to think about this stuff that hard or what's going to be the impact to markets. Now, I understand that there are people who are in retirement who, you know, they can't see an 80% drawdown in Bitcoin and, you know, their life is suddenly unfunded. But I think in general, there are a lot of people out there who are listening who, if they just make the choice to move over, they can just ignore all of the nonsense. It's just opting out of, and it's not just money. Like I talked about this in my speech in Prague. Like there are so many ways you can opt out of the fiat nonsense. And it starts with money. It moves to your health. It moves to how you know, approach raising your kids and educating them. And like so many rabbit holes you can go down. Ben, you've gone down all the rabbit holes. Do you have any other comment on this?
The meme comes to mind of the Federal Reserve Xbox controller, which is just two buttons that says print and stop printing. it's like the same thing. Like, oh, Trump says there's going to be tariffs. And there's like, oh, we're going to postpone the tariffs. And it's the same as the debt ceiling. Like, oh, we're going to have a debt ceiling. Oh, we're just going to raise it. It's like all these stupid circus acts of just keeping people distracted and confused about what's going on. And it really is nice to just not give an F about it and just not be involved in it and just look at it from the outside thinking, this is so nuts. This is so stupid. And again, this is the theme of the episode. It's causing more and more people to realize this is really stupid. What's actually going on here? More awakening every time.
Yeah, there's very little nuance to government policy. It tends to be an on-off switch for most things. And that's kind of what we're seeing playing out. Alrighty, on to the surveillance. So, Gemini, so this is Google's AI, is now scanning your phone, and there are ways to disable it or deinstall it. And this particular account recommends Graphene OS and another Android open source software, describing them as better in the first place. Tony, I want you to, so I dug into this a little bit. Effectively, it sounds to me like a lot of the chats that you have, even like WhatsApp, some of these chats, apps, other things, just are no longer going to be private. Basically, like Gemini is going to be scanning your phone. That information presumably is going to be saved, stored, sent off somewhere. And you're going to have lost complete control of your data. So one of our services, full disclosure, is helping people set up and configure privacy phones. As the cybersecurity guy, how do you think about this? Like, what make the case for migrating away from, you know, Android onto something else?
This isn't the first app that does this, by the way. Pretty much all apps on either iOS or Android have the ability to do this, that I'm sure a lot of them have, just, you know, without attracting too much attention. Every app that you have on either one of these OSs knows what the other app that you also installed is. And there's a lot of, you know, sort of like back-end communication and telemetry going on. Privacy, forget it. You have absolutely zero. So most people didn't care in the past because whatever. Now, though, we're entering a world, you know, where, you know, people are going down rabbit holes. Bitcoin exists. Privacy's back up on the radar, you know, and a lot more attention's being, you know, focused on the things that matter. You cannot have this with big tech. They've, you know, constructed their entire ecosystems on this telemetry and lack of privacy and communication and all that, because that's how they sell you stuff. That's like, we are the product. And so if you don't want any of this stuff, you have to stop using the product. So there are options. And one of them is, you know, exactly as you mentioned, is, you know, de-Google privacy phones, which strips down the operating system entirely, installs a fully open source, airtight, bulletproof, you know, system there where none of this funny business is possible. And then most of the apps that you're usually accustomed to anyhow work on these systems. You just know, you have the peace of mind knowing that there's no funny business going on in the background. That's like just to overly simplify the description of this product. And of course, we lock it down, you know, very, very well, so that, you know, all this, and we harden it, you know, in all aspects where it needs to be hardened. And of course, we train the folks to get used to it. And it's very easy. It doesn't take more than like a couple of hours before it becomes your normal phone. So if you've got Gemini on your phone, get rid of it, delete it. I mean, that's, I would strongly urge you to do that. You know, you don't need that garbage, you know, if, you know, siphoning all sorts of data on a device that you're holding pretty much 24/7. Just know that Gemini is likely not to be the only app that does this. You just don't know which other ones are doing it. So just to be safe, assume they all do it. And so base, you know, your decision going forward on that.
Yeah. Ben, you've talked about government surveillance. I imagine you have some thoughts. I know this isn't technically government surveillance, but let's be honest, big tech, pretty cozy with...
connected.
Yeah.
There's no longer any real clear cut between which of these evil, bad forces is going to find a way to screw you with this in some point. And I just think that... I certainly think about this stuff a lot because I am... frequently putting out controversial information on socials, so it definitely is relevant. Like, how much are they following, how much are they watching, and what can they do with that? And I, for one, am really bad on my security. I want to check out this Graphene OS, because this has been around. I've been hearing about this for years now. I know that this is a really smart thing to do, so this is just another thing that is pushing me in that direction to really go look at that. So Do both of you guys use that, or either of you use Graphene?
Tony's got it set up. I've got the hardware. I need to finish getting the install set up.
Yeah, of course. Graphene OS is, we set these phones up regularly. It's my main phone. The cool thing about Graphene OS is that you can use it in three modes. You know, like, you've got the regular mode where you just take your SIM card from your existing phone and you pop it in. And I'd say you're like 95% improved. The only weak point is that SIM card is still connected to your identity that your, you know, telecom knows about. So if you don't want this, you can opt by purchasing an anonymous SIM card online that you can use crypto, like Bitcoin, to pay for it. This way, there's no identity of yours. SIM swaps, things of that sort, no longer an issue. Or you can do the full Jason Bourne, you know, lifestyle, where you have no SIM card. The only caveat is that you always have to be within the vicinity of some Wi-Fi connection to use the phone. But that is like, you know, full hardcore. And of course, if you've installed, you know, personal cybersecurity running on the phone 24/7, in addition to all of this, then you really have nothing to worry about, you know. So many options just at the fundamental core of the product is something that you can trust, which is not the case with either iPhone or standard Android.
Ben, if there's one human in my life, I think, who needs Graphene OS, it's probably you. So I would get on it, my friend. No, I think this is an important consideration for everyone. And yeah, particularly if you're sending a lot of sensitive information, sharing a lot of sensitive information. I mean, really consider this. It's one of those, it's like a hoop to jump through, but I've seen Tony like work on it with his phone, and like it really looks very intuitive because it's built on, like, first of all, the same hardware. So like you can use, you know, the hardware that you're familiar with, but then like the interface and all of that is going to be very familiar. It just takes a little bit of time to figure out. All right, you guys, last one just for fun. So this account found this, called Black Hole. Asteroid Psyche 16 has been found to contain gold reserves worth $700 quintillion. That's enough to make everyone on Earth billionaires. And this guy responded, no, that would make gold worthless and we'd all still be poor. Take a goddamn economics class. So first of all, great response. Very true. Gold is not scarce. The question is just, is it economically feasible today at gold's current price with our current technology to mine said gold that we, you know, have found or discovered elsewhere? Probably mining an asteroid, not economically feasible at the moment. But when will it be? I don't know. It could be a year. It could be, you know, 10 years. Who knows? But I think the important thing for people to understand is there is a lot of gold out there in the universe accessible to humans at some point in the future. Tony, take it away, man. Why is Bitcoin scarcity so important?
Did someone forward this to Peter Schiff? Maybe he's like panic selling his gold right now. You know, worried that they're going to go get this thing and, you know, flood the market with all of that, all these shiny rocks. Give the right incentives, you know, you'll find the supply. Thankfully, in Bitcoin, you can't screw around that way because, you know, it's encoded from now to eternity. So if anyone still had any doubts, you know, about the Bitcoin versus gold debate, well, here you go. And I'm sure this won't be the last, you know, mysterious finding of gold somewhere that will, you know, crop up on Twitter.
Yeah, not a chance. I completely agree. Ben, any final thoughts on the asteroid find?
I mean, there's not a ton to add there. You pretty much summed it up. It's just once
on, Ben, do you believe in asteroids? I don't know where you stand on any of this stuff anymore.
I wasn't even going to go there. Anytime you bring me on, you know that I could go all the way off the rails. I'm going to try to stay within 10 feet of the rails here.
Okay,
and
good,
say
good.
What we can all agree on is that the gold supply is much less known than Bitcoin. I think that is like, as we're going through the different pieces of Austrian economics and what makes Bitcoin so awesome, there just is nothing else that is close to it in having that perfect measurability. And so all these different factors all over the place, whether there's asteroids or there's no asteroids, or there's like giant bars of gold that will fall from the sky someday, we don't know. But we know there's never going to be more Bitcoin. So that's the money I wouldn't choose to save in.
I love it. That's a good way to end. Ben, why don't you give everyone a handoff? Tell them where to find you.
Yes, wherever people are watching or listening, I will be there too. I think most people watch you guys' YouTube channel. So just my YouTube channel, Ben Werman. And we're going into lots of fun stuff over there. Come join for a good time.
Yeah, if you want some deep, dark rabbit holes, you got to go follow Ben, everyone. So guys, thanks for joining as always. Hey, if you're listening, appreciate you being here. Stick around another minute, learn a little bit about the Bitcoin way. We'd love to help you. Ben, thanks for joining, man. Tony, good chatting with you. We'll see you guys next time.
Always great a pleasure. Time, guys. See you later.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin.
For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.